right, folks. This Blue Jays talk is going to be a bit like a George Springer at bat. Quick and dirty. Except hopefully we'll accomplish something during the time. 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. Kevin Barker's Blue Jays once again failing to muster anything offensively, losing 3-1 to the Milwaukee Brewers in the first game of a three-game series. Kevin Barker, I think in some ways the score flatters the Blue Jays 3-1. It was not a terrific performance from Jose Berríos. Not much in the way of first pitch strikes. Left a couple of pitches over the plate and played and paid for him. But once again, the story of this game, as indeed has been the story of probably 90% of this Blue Jay season, just an inability to get anything going at all offensively. It starts in the first inning. Kevin Barker, I'm just going to ask you flat out. If that was Kevin Barker on second base when you were playing and you did what Spencer Horowitz did, you'd be in the plane to AAA in another couple hours?
Probably, or I wouldn't play for a week. I mean, that's bottom line. Like this, yeah, this is big leagues, man. Like, your team has a huge time scoring runs. Forget about the first inning. I mean, it's had a real tough time scoring runs. And for a ground ball hit right in front of you and you just run like you're a little leaguer, there's no excuse.
That wasn't
for it, man.
There was like, no decision there, was there? I mean, that was
absolutely
nothing.
Not. Put your head down and run till you get tagged out. It's little league stuff. Like, that's, yeah, again, we all understand why Spencer Horowitz is up here, right? I mean, offensively, he's doing some things. I mean, he can hit the ball the other way. He looks like he can hit velocity. He looks like that little short, compact swing. But, man alive, it's, you get hitting at the top of that order, you got to know who's hitting behind you. You got to just know what's going on in front of you. And for you to put your head down and run to it like you're a little leaguer, it's just no excuse for it. There's got to be some accountability. Like, I get it. We all understand what they ain't doing. The inability to make in-game adjustments against pitchers who are throwing glove side. Keep the front side in. I mean, we saw Davis Schneider hit one line drive to right field on a fastball a little middle up because he tried to make a little bit of an adjustment. Who else did it? 3-6 in the order was 0-13. I mean, that's about as playing catch as you can get for old Colin Ray out there. I mean, he ain't tricking nobody. I mean, occasionally he'd throw you a sinker in, stand you up to try to get you out of way because he know a bunch of dudes that are right-handed get themselves out. Like,
yeah,
it's just sort of like Groundhog Day, right? It's the 5-3 up, 3 downs. I mean, we saw that yesterday. We saw 5-3 up, 3 downs in a row. Like, it's a consistent, you get in a groove as a pitcher on the mound in one location. That lineup's not going to force you to get away from that. And that, I think, is the frustrating part. That was the second worst start in my mind Jose Berríos had all year. I mean, I said this to you today when you asked me to end the show. You asked me, what does he have to do? And I said, throw strike one and be consistent with the spin of the slurve. He was neither one of those. He faced 22 batters. He threw 8 strike ones. He's falling behind all night. He had 9 three-ball counts. That's atrocious. That's not Jose Berríos. But he was one out away from giving them a quality start. That's the difference in Jose Berríos this year than the last couple of years, is even if he doesn't have the consistent spin, the slurve speed was all over the map. It was 82, it was 87, it was 85, it's 84. It's got to be right in there, 83, 84, right? The thing's coming off the fingers the right way. It's got the good finish. He's commanding that thing glove side. He threw 25 of them. He had 5 swings. He had 1 whiff. I get back to that. He was one out away, Jeff, from giving them another quality start. It's just the offense. If I'm in that lineup, I'm embarrassed. I mean, you can't say this thing any other way. The dude got you out over and over and over, and everybody walked up that was right-handed, in my mind, and did the same exact thing. Step in the bucket and try and pull a slurve, a four-seamer, a sinker, something glove side. That's the glove side from the pitcher. That's away to a righty. Instead of scoot closer, bury your front shoulder, mix it, do something to try and get him away from the little groove that he's in. And it's too bad. I mean, the rotation for me right now, Jeff, deserves better, and they're just not getting it.
No, they definitely aren't. They did get a home run from Alejandro Kirk tonight, a 400-foot shot, but really, that was all they had going on. This Spencer Horowitz base running mistake, and then in the fifth inning, Dalton Varsho gets on base with the drag bunt, and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, coming off a 5 RBI game, hits into a double play, and that was basically it until Spencer Horowitz singled with two out in the ninth inning. That did bring Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to the plate with the tying run, but first pitch ground out on a 99-mile-an-hour fastball, and that was all she wrote for the Blue Jays, who had a chance to move to 500 at 23-23. They are now 22-24, and as we talked about in Blair and Barker today, the one saving grace is that there are a lot of really bad baseball teams this year in the majors, and
not the next 18 games is not. The next 18 games, they're going to get some good ones.
Yes, that is true. That is true. They will definitely get some good teams. However, the numbers to call, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Again, two solo home runs from Willie Adames, Jackson Chirillo, and a sacrifice fly off the bat of Willie Adames. I don't know, Kevin. I mean, I guess if you really want a second guess, you wonder if maybe Dalton Varsho has a better arm in left field and throws him out. But, I mean, that's kind of ticky-tack. That's kind of ticky-tack on my part, although there's certainly – well, let's put it this way. There was absolutely no doubt the Brewers were going to run on Davis Schneider on that sacrifice fly. 3-1, the Milwaukee Brewers have beaten the Toronto Blue Jays. Adam and Pickering, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Kevin said it earlier, this rotation deserves better. Why do you guys think Aurelvis Martinez has not been called up, given how he's dominating AAA? I'm going to hang up and listen to your thoughts. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd call a 249 average necessarily dominating AAA. How many errors does he have now? I'm trying to look here, trying to look at his fielding. Is it 14 errors? Where are you? Come on. 14 errors this year. If you think that he's the answer to what ails you offensively, but I mean, I just, you're basically already really flirting with run prevention with some of the lineups you're running out there right now, Kevin. I don't know what you would do with Aurelvis Martinez. I really don't. And again, yes, he's got 15 home runs, 43 RBIs. He's got an 852 OPS, a 336 on base percentage. But I mean, I don't know where you'd fit him in here. I don't know where you'd fit him in here right now. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, he's hitting 226 against righties. I mean, I think that's it. They don't face enough lefties that he would get enough at-bats that it would matter, right? You'd have to see better quality at-bats against the right-handed pitcher, right? Can he take a sweeper from a righty, drive that thing to right center? I mean, if he can, call him up. I think they're at the point now where who cares? Like, who cares how many errors he's making in the field? And I mean, if you got to DH him a few times, you got to DH him. I think that's sort of where they're at. Is it his fault? Probably not. Should you call him up? Probably not. If I were running a team, would I call him up? Probably not. I mean, I think that's sort of where they're at with this. It's you got to play it out. You got to find a position. You know, what are they going to do with him if they have to trade him at the trade deadline? Like, what would they make a trade? Like, man, there's a lot of things going into this. Again, 3-6 in the order. Jeff went 0-13, and it was a legit 0-13. Like, I mean, most of them really did.
Solidly quiet.
Absolutely. I mean, they're working through that thing, man. It's like, you know, and George Springer, again, it's like you if you're a hard thrower, you're not afraid to throw Vladdy a fastball. If you just get it close to George Springer, gets himself out. There's a lot of empty at bats sprinkled through 1-9, and again, that's too bad. Like, the four guys in that rotation are giving you everything they got. Like, Jose was giving them everything he had. You could tell right from the get he just didn't have it. Like, it didn't take a guy that knows how to talk baseball or watch baseball to know that Jose didn't have good finish and didn't have, you know, just coming off the fingers the way it was supposed to come off the fingers. Like, you could just see it. And you could tell it's going to be a battle. Like, he was going to throw more changeups. He was going to, you know, aim bigger. It was the didn't have the back door. Don't have the slurve where I want it. Can't back foot it. Like, I got to do whatever
Throwing
I got to do to
and
get
righty
guys
changes.
Out.
Like, yeah, you can tell that it's
absolutely. So it's just like, what do you do when they ain't scoring no runs? You fight, you claw, and I think this is where this team's at. This team has earned their record. They are 32-34, mm-hmm. and they are a 32-34 team.
Yeah, and again, another chance to go to 500. Which to me at least is kind of I'm not a big fan in saying that you hit a reset button at any point, but given the way, as we talked about, just how miserable there are a lot of teams are in baseball right now. There are a lot of teams under 500.
Yeah.
And if you get the 500, you're at least jumping over a couple of teams, and you're putting yourself in a little better position, and that's really all the Jays are trying to do right now. Jerry Howarth always used to talk about get the 500, then get the 10 games over 500, and at that point, wait, you know, get back to me when you're at that point, and we can start talking about you being
Jeff,
a legit team.
They got four legitimate starters. They got a top three defense in baseball, not just the American League, in baseball, and they got Jimmy Garcia in the pen. Like, that should be good enough to be above 500 if they were hitting at all. And the at-bats you're seeing, like tonight, 3-6, is just – I mean, it's consistently, I think that's what you're seeing. You can get them out with fastballs, you can get them out glove side, and the in-game adjustments are non-existent, and that takes place. That's a tough watch, man. And then you see the base running you saw from guys that, quite frankly, can't have base running like that. Boy.
Yeah, it was not pretty. It was not pretty at all. Guy and Maple, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, guys. So just an incredible cut and dry statistic I saw here. So the Jays are now 1-25 when they score two runs or less. I think their only win is when Schneider hit the, I think it was a pinch hit homer in Houston first week of the season. On the other side of the house, you know who has the best record in the majors when they score five runs or more? The Toronto Blue Jays. They're 26-1. They lost one game when they've scored five plus runs, and that was against the Yankees also in the first week. In that game, they were losing 9-2, and they almost came back, and they lost like 9-8, something to that effect. So how do we get from 2 to 5 runs? I believe what Atkins needs to do, he can go out and grab a DH and an outfielder. That's what they need to do. They need to put Schneider back at second and rotate him with Horowitz. Get him out of the leadoff spot for sure. I don't think he's got one hit in the first inning since he's been there. And in the outfield, I think it's time to platoon Springer and Kiermaier. You go with one or the other, and then you have Varsho and whoever you can pick up, whether that's Brent Rooker, Isaac Paredes, whoever it is you can go out and get. I think if they can get two more bats, get rid of Vogelbach, get rid of Clement, and, you know, you can DH, if you can get a left-handed bat to DH with Turner and plug these guys in and out, maybe – just maybe they have a chance. And on the flip side, listen, they need to do this now because they're scheduled. They're playing a lot of tough pitching right now, and these guys can also hit. And, you know, in a month and a half before the trade deadline, if it doesn't work out, you could still be sellers. Buy now, sell later if it doesn't work out, and just look through your cash.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I mean, we talked about this a little bit today. The problem is I don't think there are that many sellers. Just about everybody's still in the wild card race. Secondly, I don't see what the Blue Jays have to trade. I really don't. I mean, they don't have Alec Manoah now. It's not like they've got starting pitchers falling out of the trees, AAA. They don't have any. Maybe Yariel Rodriguez. There's not a lot to trade here. And there's certainly not a lot to trade that's going to bring you anything in return that's going to help your lineup. You know, if anything, if you end up trading somebody out of your lineup to add, I mean, you're going to end up just creating another hole. There's just not a lot there to trade. I ask yourself, if you were the Chicago White Sox, let's assume that Vladdy and Bo are off the table right now. If you're the Chicago White Sox, who do you want in this team? I don't see anybody. I really don't. Dalton Varsho? Who do you want in this team if you're the Chicago White Sox? If you're the Miami Marlins, who do you want in this organization? Maybe a Relvis? Okay. But who do the Marlins have that will solve your issues? So, yeah, I think you need to take a step back when you start talking about this. It's awfully hard on June 7th or June 8th or whatever it is to go out and add two impactful bats. That's something you should have been doing in the offseason, frankly. And, you know, and as far as the stats go, Kevin, I don't know. I mean, what's the average major league team when it scores two runs or less? I bet there aren't a lot of teams out there that have big winning records when they score two runs or less. So
yeah, I think to Gee's point, though, the Blue Jays do it too many times. That's his point. Like, it's, I mean, everything Gee said there, he nailed it. Like, it's just how would you do it? Like, and you nailed it. Like, that's the rock and a hard place, right? Is he's exactly right. You're exactly right. Like, and now how do you fix it? You should have done this in the offseason. This is something you should have tried to go out and maybe paid for and not so much tried to trade for, because you don't really have a whole lot to trade to get what you need.
No, and I mean, we've already seen, look how long it took this front office to bring Spencer Horwitz up. I mean, I don't know. Are they going to move fast and be bold when it comes to trading? I think the jury's out on that. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. I mean, there's a lot about this team that's too cautious. That's what I would say. Let's take a break, come back and hear from the skipper, and go back to the phone lines. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Have you ever experienced anything like that, having a bat up there above the dugout? How'd y'all get it down?
Probably I have. I think it was Chris Bassett got it down with some kind of hook. Sucks that was the most entertaining part of the game.
Boy, does it ever. And I don't know about you, I didn't really find it that entertaining. Bat got stuck in a mesh. Geez, you'd think that it was like the Cirque du Soleil or something.
How many times I've done that in winter ball, Jeff? I've done that solid 10 or 12 times myself. So, come on. It's like, that's the question they ask. What is going on? Like, how about, why didn't you make an adjustment in game, Johnny? You're worried about that. Hey, John, you know, your lineup's been struggling. How do you fix it? Like, it's, have you ever seen a bat hanging in a net before, John?
I mean, it really has been that kind of year, hasn't it?
Hasn't it? Holy.
It's good.
John answered it well, though. He did. Trooper right there, as usual.
Let's try to back into a question. Although, I mean, in fairness, this is like rinse and repeat. John should just have a sheet of answers ready and just have it, just hand it out to the reporters.
Just have a sign on a stick.
Yeah.
Just hold it
exactly.
Up.
Tipping our cap, didn't adjust, like the effort.
Get them tomorrow. It's a marathon.
It is a marathon. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. So the good news for the Blue Jays is they get to see a pitcher tomorrow who's a top prospect and they haven't seen before. Kevin, what can go wrong?
I don't know. Jeff, first time I'm speechless. I don't have an answer for you, but, you know, you hope that somebody runs into one. And who's pitching for the Jays tomorrow?
Is it Kikuchi?
There you go. Hopefully you say is velocity is off the charts and that slow breaking ball is like 81 miles an hour down and can go eight innings. That happens? Got a pretty solid chance, Jeff.
So look, we've got, and Dan and Joe talked about this during the telecast. And the other caller made the point as well about Davis Schneider. I mean, I love Davis Schneider, love the story. And we know that the Jays, Kevin, they're trying to squeeze water out of a stone here when it comes to this particular lineup. At some point, you think, knowing that you've got two more games against Milwaukee, who are, you know, we got to stop this thing about eliminating Milwaukee. Milwaukee scares me just as much as Cleveland, to be honest. So how much runway do you think John gives this particular top of the order here?
Who would he put? Who's the changing it? I mean, who's hitting leadoff?
You know, I mean, Joe and Dan mentioned this. I'm almost at the point now where if Spencer Horwitz is going to get on base, I don't care if he's leading off or hitting second. I might want to put him up there, and I might want to put David Schneider's bat down a little lower in the order. I don't know. Maybe Horwitz, Bichette, Guerrero.
Yeah. I mean, go with your best guys. Bichette, you think, is one of your best guys. I mean, give somebody else a chance to run into one. I mean, Bo seems to be taking some bigger hacks than normal. Pulling off a little bit, right? Not catching up to velocity, maybe in the two hole. Maybe he's a little bit more comfortable there. I mean, who knows?
I understand.
He's been moved around a lot. Like, yeah. You know, Bo's the one guy, for whatever reason, they're not afraid to move around. I mean, and they never move Vladdy around. They always move him, Bo, everywhere, which is, again, I'm not saying that even matters, because he hit a fastball. But, you know, every once in a while, I think you take care of your own. And your own is the dude that plays short. Mm-hmm. So put him in a spot. I'm with you. I mean, if you want to give somebody else a chance to hit cleanup and run into one, maybe Bo gets on there and starts.
I'm just spitballing here. I'm just trying. Yeah. I mean, we're you know, this is the story we've been talking about all year, right? With the lineup, and I understand water from a stone, and you're basically rearranging, you know, deck chairs in the Titanic. I get all that. But if we operate under the assumption that there's no other help coming from this team, I just wonder if maybe at some point you don't look at that. Because I mean, I'll say this, I mean, the one thing Spencer Horwitz can do, I mean, it'd be nice if he didn't, I'm presuming he's not gonna, you know, do what he did again tonight in the bases, but the guy does seem to get on base, and that's his strength. So if that's his strength, let's use it out of the leadoff spot. More often than not, he's gonna see a righty anyhow. So I don't know, just, you know, thinking about it.
Yeah, I think it's to the point now, though, you pick one and you stick with it. Like, you're going to, if there's a lefty, you obviously don't start the lefty, but then you would mix it up a little bit. If there's righties on the mound and there's 10 righties in a row, stick with the same lineup. Like, give them a chance to have a little run here. I mean, you've tried everything. I mean, you called up whoever you're going to call up in AAA. You know, you've moved around Bo as many times you can move around Bo. You put Springer wherever you need to put Springer. I mean, what's left, Jeff? It's like, it is what it is.
Let's hear from tonight's starting pitcher, Jose Berríos.
Keep pitching, keep attacking. I can't be lazy and thought like negative. I just had to keep trying with what I got in the night. I was trying to throw, you know, quality breaking ball, but they don't was there. So I've been getting behind a lot against the hitter tonight. But yeah, I was trying to throw fastball, you know, butt out the sun, and my changeup was playing pretty well tonight, and we used it a lot.
Yeah, I was going to ask Jose about the changeup. Is that sort of the pitch that you can use when you don't have the breaking ball there?
Yeah, I mean, we have to figure out in this level. You have to figure out, like, in the moment. We don't have time for tomorrow and for the next pitch. It's just every pitch counts. So, yeah, knowing, like, my breaking ball wasn't there, I used my changeup, and I feel pretty well with him.
Boy, oh boy, Kevin, you have to figure out in the moment. That could go for the hitters.
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe one can and one can't. It's look, if I ever say anything bad about Jose Berríos, you have my permission to yell or throw something at me. I mean, that's the greatest answer you can ever give. Like he said, I basically didn't have it. The thing wasn't working, but I'm going to figure it out. I say this, he was one batter away from another quality start. As bad as it was, he was one out away from a quality start. Like, that's all you need to know about Jose Berríos. So, again, you have my permission to chuck something at me if I'm ever mean again.
Yeah, and that, again, the Milwaukee Brewers, we don't talk about them an awful lot, but that is definitely not the worst lineup in baseball by any stretch of the imagination. They are a handful. They're a first-place team. And they're a first-place team that knows how to win games. 3-1, the Blue Jays, which I guess you have to be in order to be a first-place team. Have to know how to win games. And that's my bit of wisdom. It's not quite the same as you have to figure it out in the moment, but I'm working on it. 3-1, the Milwaukee Brewers. have beaten the Toronto Blue Jays. Two more games left in the series. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers, just down the road from me. Like, seriously, in Brantford and Woodstock. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.